I want to thank Rabbi Rahmani. He's sponsoring breakfast this morning. Lila Nishmas' father, Avinoam ben Chaim, whose yahrzeit is tonight. Anybody wants to sponsor, feel free to let me or Menachem know. So today's shiur is going to be discussing, as the title says, using office supplies for personal use. This also is going to touch upon other areas as well of how one uses time. You know, when you charge 60 minutes. Bill that type of time, whether you could use it for personal use, which we're not going to focus this time, but this does touch upon that as well. But more importantly, what type of obligations does the employer have to provide the employee when it comes to, let's say, health insurance, providing lunch, expenses? Our focus, again, is going to be using supplies for personal use, but it will touch upon other areas as well. Maybe next week we'll discuss how one could use their time properly when in the office. So there's an interesting tshuva. Rav Vosner speaks about this question pretty directly. He's talking about a situation. I'm not exactly sure if it could be compared to our cases. When I worked for that 1 year in PricewaterhouseCoopers, so I recall that sometimes I'd have to take work home with me. So I'd take pens and papers and stuff. And the question becomes, let's say I misplace one of the pens. I put it in my regular house bin of pens. Now, is there an issue for me to use that pen from PricewaterhouseCoopers to use my personal use? Or let's say a situation where I'm at work, I have a phone call, I need to write down a doctor's appointment, is this day? That's personal use. Would that be permitted? What I think is clearly usher to go ahead and start, you know, hoarding all the pens and say, and they'll fill up on their own, I think that's clearly going to be usher. The question is, I think, in between, when you use it a little bit for your own personal use, whether that's, you know, a coffee, a water, papers, pens, other types of supplies. So Rav Vosner, in the very first source, in Tshuvas Shevet Alevi, Chelek Dalad, Simin Reish Chaf, he's talking about a situation, Le'inyan Lakachas Mibes Charoshes She'oved Sham. A person takes some types of materials, utensils from a factory, Kol Mine Kelim Hatzrichim B'Shas Avod, the things that are needed during, it doesn't describe what type of factory this is, but utensils used for the work in the factory, Af Apishim Achlifin Kol Pam. So it seems from here that what he's describing is, let's say they always want to use new knives. At the beginning of the day, they replenish the supplies, so they have new knives for cutting, whatever type of factory this is. So now that means that all the old knives, all utensils are used already, and they're not going to use it again. So can I take them now? They're pushed over to the side. They're already one day old. They don't use the old materials. So what Rav Vosner says, it's a very pashut answer, and then we're going to go through the whole sugya. He says, Adavar pashut. It all depends on the akpada of the partners, of the employer, what he cares. He might want to use that to sell it as garbage and make money off selling it to the, you know, dump, or maybe let anyone use it to whoever, whatever he wants. So it all depends on the akpadas habaylim based on the Ramah in Simin Shin Nun Ches. So we're going to go through the sugya to see how the Rama got the shita that it all depends on the hakpada. And I see there's some svardim here as well. This is only shita sarama. The mechaber has a different position, as we'll get to towards the end. So as an aside here, when I saw this tshuva, Rav Vosner has another interesting point afterwards, which has nothing to do with this topic, but once it was in the same tshuva, I figured I'd mention it. He says further, Pashit etzli, it's very simple to me, shepoel sheovid b'makom sheovdim b'dvarim sodim. A person is working in a type of place that has secrets. So whether you're working in the Coca-Cola factory and you know their special ingredient, or in any other type of secrets that they may have, oh, shemishtamshim b'machshirim shemadayin b'geder sod, or other types of functions that this company figured out a certain mahalach in something that's still considered secret, even though it hasn't been copyrighted. Oh, afilu pula shiamtza shabal havodor, some chiddush that the employer figured out that it's not necessarily us to use, but you don't want to let the public know about this. So are you allowed to share it with others? She'asir lo lepoel lahatik la'atzmo. He cannot copy down the ingredients or the different mahalich or whatever type of calculations they're using. Ola cherim, he can't write it for himself or others. Ubigeder gezel hu medin, which I think is a pashadin. To steal someone else's secrets would be a violation of gezela. Gam im lo asu takanim yuchadis laze, even though the guy didn't protect it by any way, he didn't copyright it, didn't patent it, it's still going to be asur because kevan shehem dvarim shestama makpidim od agluyam. You as an employee, he trusts you. There's a certain amount of loyalty he expects from you. So he's makbid on, just like you can't take his, you know, his office supplies for personal use. so too can take his secrets and his different calculations. That's also considered his ownership and would be tali on hakpados. So let's go through the sugya now, how the Sheva Levi and how the Ramah figured out that what you're allowed to use in the office depends really on the hakpada of the employer and the partners. So it begins in a Mishnah in the Maseches Baba Metzia Daf Pei Gimel, talking about when you hire a worker, what type of hours does he have to put in? So the Mishnah begins, this is source number 2. Hasocher es ha-poalim, person hires some workers. V'amar lahem, he says to the workers, lahashkim ulahariv. I want you to come in early, I want you to stay late. So does he have the right, does the employer have the right to demand this from his employee? So the Mishnah says, Makom shenagu shelo lahashkim v'shelo lahariv, if there's a place where they don't do this. This is not the custom to wake up at the crack of dawn to go to work and come back at 11 o'clock at night. So ein rasha lakofam. The employer has no right to force the employee to work extra hours if this is not the practice. It's all about the minag hamakom. Makom shenagu lazan, yazan. A person whose the practice in the area is to feed the employees, to provide breakfast and lunch and perhaps dinner. So then the employer has that obligation. Those are the benefits. To supply them with health insurance. Whatever is in that industry is the custom, the employer has to provide. Lesapek b'mesicha, yesapek. If it's the custom of the area to provide sweets and whatnot in addition to the meals, they have to supply that as well. Hakol kiminag hamedina. It all depends on what the minag of the medina is. Now, seemingly this isn't, you can't really, every industry has different minhagim. So it depends on the industry. If you're in finance, if you're in real estate, if you're in medical, whatever that industry might be in, it depends what is practiced normally in that particular industry. So the Gemara, the Mishnah goes on to say that, I guess we could skip the rest of the Mishnah, but we see from the Mishnah clearly, hakol kiminag hamadina, in terms of providing food, I'll add in health insurance and other things as well, other types of perks. Yeah.
Well, let's say, person's not forcing someone to take a job. He says, okay, I know that this is how they do it here, but I'm doing it this way. Maybe you make a little more money. If they both agree, even if it's not the minhag,
perfect. We're going to get to a Tosas who talks about that case. But right now we're talking about a case where there is no stipulations. Okay. So they're just, I'm hiring you to work for me. And what are the expectations? Nothing was mentioned. Okay. So that we look around the industry, what was what's considered minhag and medina.
So jobs nowadays, you'd consider everyone a socher?
Everyone would consider a socher, yes. So there happens to be a very interesting Yushalmi based on this Mishnah. The Yushalmi says the Mishnah is talking about the koach of minag medina so much that the number 3, the Yushalmi there in that Gemar Bamatzia says, Amar Rav Hoshaya, Zos Ameristis tells us, Haminag mivatel es halacha. How powerful is a minag that it's able to override a halacha? Now which halacha is the Yushalmi talking about? Anybody know? The halacha of hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. So why not try to bring proof of what the employer's ideas was, what the employee's understanding was, try to figure out what the proof is. Now the Mishnah doesn't say, bring Edim, bring a star. It just says, it goes based on minag medina. So the Yushalmi says that the koach of a minag is able to be mevatel a halacha, which is an amazing thing. So as an aside, there's another Yushalmi Nevamos that says differently. The Yushalmi Nevamos writes in number 4, Kol halacha shehi rofefes bebezdin, any halacha that's weak, that doesn't have a lot of strength to it, veinat yodea mativo, you don't know exactly the nature of such a halacha, so then what you should do is say go out and see, heyach hatzibor noheg v'nahug. Go see what the practice is, the minag medina. The Bavli has a similar concept. Anybody know what the Bavli, the phrase that's used for that? Amadava, right? Go see what the Am is doing. Go see what the minag is. But the Yishalmi says if there's a halacha that's weak, so then you look around for what the minag is. Implying, if it was a strong halacha, a halacha brura, then you don't rely on the minag. But didn't the Yishalmi and Bamatzia tell us that minag is mevatel halacha? Even a strong halacha is mevatel? But the Yevamos Yishalmi says it's only mevatel a halacha rofefes. So what's the difference between the Yushalmis of the koach of a minag? Is it only, again, mevatel a weak halacha, or is it even going to be mevatel a strong halacha? So the Tshuva's Be'er Sheva, again, this is just a parenthetical point. I thought it was interesting. He addresses this question. And the end of Be'er Sheva, look at number 5, the last few lines of the first page. He quotes from Rav Isaac Stein, Bebeurav Lismag, his parish he has on Sefer Mitzvos Agadol. B'kushya Rishon of Atirat, he gives the following answer between these two different Yerushalmis of what the koach of a minhag is. Anyone have suggestions before I write the answer? So the answer is, what he writes is, but nearly the lokash shemidi. There is no question here at all. The hasam beperka poalim, the sugya and maseches bab mitzia mairi leinin mamona. That's a monetary dispute between the employer and the employee. And there we say the minog is mevatel the halacha of hamotzi mechaver lefaraya. Why? Because yesh koach biyad chamim lafkia mamona de hefker based in hefker. Afal gav shadin Torah lehefech. Because when it comes to a monetary dispute, Bezdin could come down and say, we're being mafkir, all the money, all the claims here, and we're deciding it's the minog is going to override the halacha. That's the koach of Bezdin. That's hefker based in hefker. That applies only in the world of dinei mamonos. But the sugya in Yivamos, says the Be'er Sheva, is referring to the next page here. It's Mairi Le'inan Isura. It's talking about an Isser having to do with Yibum and Chalitza. And when it comes to Isura, Ein shayich lahatir davar ha'aser machmas minag. You can't allow a davar iser because of a minag, because of a certain practice. So only if the halacha is a weak halacha, so then you could say, let's go see pok maichaz am a davar. What's everybody doing? What's a minag? But if it's a strong halacha, davar iser halacha, that a minag cannot override. But we see from in the world of dinei mamonos, a minag is able to be mevatel a halacha because of hefker. Based in Hefker. So we see the koach of a minhag. So the first question is, what is the practice in that industry? Is there an obligation for the employer to provide food, health insurance, and other things as well? So Tosfos right to point out Jeff's point. Let's say, look at number 6 Tosfos. So right now we have the minhag of Medina as the number one thing you look at. But Tosfos writes in number 6, right there in that Gemara in Pei Gimel. He says, Perish Ri, Bishesachron Stama. Our whole discussion about having the employee come earlier and stay later is only when you never stipulate anything. You just said, I want to hire you to work for me. V'amar lahem, achash yischirim kfar lahashkim laharif. Aval im hisna meikara hakol fitanao. But if you made a stipulation at the outset, that listen, I'm hiring you only on the condition that you come at 5 a.m. in the morning, and then you leave 11:30 at night, that's the stipulation, that's the condition, that's what you agreed upon, that's an agreement. So we see from Tosfos, the number one thing you always look at is the agreement. Was there an agreement? Was there a contract? And were there the details written in this contract? Number two you look at, if there was no contract, so then you look, what is the practice among that particular, within that particular industry? And that's what you see very clearly in the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says, number 7, he quotes these two halachas about the condition, the agreement, and the minhag. We'll read through the Shulchan Aruch, number 7. This is Choshe Mishpat Hilchos Schiras Peralim Simin Shin Lamed Aleph. He writes, Hasochas Apalim, a person who hires a worker, Vamar Lehem, he says to them, Lahashkim Laharev, I want you to come early, I want you to stay late. Malkum Shinagu, Shalahashkim Velo Shalaharev, Eini Yachalakofa. If the practice is not to wake up early and stay late, then you can't force the employee. Afilo hosif al scharn, even if you add money to it, I'll pay you more. That doesn't work. Why? Kaven shel hisna kain b'shas shesachron. Because you did not stipulate this in the beginning. But if you did, so then you can make any conditions that you want. And but if not, Malkum shenagui goes on to say, lazun yazun, lesapik begrogros, or betumar mekiyotzebehem, yesapik hakol kiminag hamedina. So number one, we always look at, was there a contract? That's always the number one question. People ask me all the time questions in dinim mamonos between different people. I say, was anything agreed upon? The number one question, well, what's the halacha? So the halacha is, well, look at the contract. If there's a contract, that overrides everything. If there is no contract, then you look at other halachas.
Could be an oral contract? Or has to be written?
That as well. By Alpeh would also create a certain obligations. Harder to prove that. But as long as there are edim and people would agree to what the verbal agreement was, it would suffice. But it's hard to prove. But the number one question is always, was there a contract? That's overrides all halachas of Choshe Mishpat, unless there's some iser involved. But other than that, it's always, was there a contract? If there is no contract, then what is the general practice? And again, this applies in all types of halachas of Choshe Mishpat. Now look what Rabbi Kiveger writes. Rabbi Kiveger writes, let's say there is a debate, whether or not, this is your case, let's say they argue whether or not there was such a condition, an agreement made beforehand. So Rabbi Kiva Eger writes, number 8, Im yesh hachasha beinem, if there's a little bit of a contradiction, there's a fight between the two of them. The Baal HaBayis amar lahashkim laharif. The Baal HaBayis says, well, we agreed upon, you're going to come early and you're going to leave late. Va'pol machisho. And the employee argues, it's not true. So what would the halacha be? So says Rabbi Kiveger, Ein ha-Baal HaBayis neman. He's not believed, the employer. Afshu muchsak. Even though he's holding on to the money. We have a concept, ha-motzi mechaver alav haraya. So right now, the employer, he's got the money. You want the money? Prove that you deserve the money. I am holding on to the money. Says Rabbi Kiveger, Kevin de ta'anaso neged ha-minag. Since the employer's claim is against the minag. The minag is that you don't wake up early, you don't stay late. That's the practice in this industry. Now the Baal HaBayis says, well, we had a condition. The employer says, no, he didn't. So who wins? So even though normally amotzi mechaver al haraya, we say that the minag is mevata the halacha of amotzi mechaver al haraya, and we look at the general practice within that industry, and he would not have to pay, or not be obligated to wake up early and stay late. So let's say there is no minag medina. Let's say there's no condition, and let's say there's no minag medina. So look what the Aruch HaShulchan writes. Number 10, he says, Kishesachar poalim velo dibru beinem. He hired a worker. He was really in a rush to get someone to help him with the job. Didn't have time to sit down with him and speak about all the various details and the conditions, the time and the hours. So no discussion. So then it's all, I'm reading, jumping through the bold now. It's all taloi b'minag hamakom. It depends on what the practice is within that industry. Jumping down more. Vimlo hisna litein lahem mizonos. If he never made a condition to provide food. Vigam. Ein minag kavua bazeh. And also there was no industry practice that ein tzarech litein lahem mizonos. Da ba lahotzi alav haraya. If there was no condition, if there is no minag medina, so you can't obligate the employer to pay the mizonos. You have to be a motzi mechavero alav haraya. The employer is holding on to the money. You want the money for mizonos? Prove that we made a condition. Prove we had a contract. Or prove that there's a certain minag in the medina. So these are the different levels. Again, number one is, was there a contract? What was stated in that contract? Number two is, what is the practice? What is the minag ha-medina? So the fascinating tshuva of the Rivash now, which talks about, I'll get to the case, but how do you define a minag? How do you define what is considered the practice of a certain industry? So he's not going to really touch upon it entirely, but he's going to mention one very, very important point of what you look at for a minag versus not a minag. And the case at hand is, there was a chazan in a shul who claimed that he should be exempt from paying any taxes. Wanted to be exempt from paying any taxes. And so the Chuvas Rivash writes that, well, it depends on a couple of things. Firstly, was there a contract with you and, I guess, the government? However it worked, I'm assuming it was a Jewish government. So you're going to be the, they charge taxes in their particular village. So he was the chazan. So if you made a condition, that I'll work as your chazan if you exempt me from paying taxes. So was there a condition? And number two is, what is the accepted practice? If there was no condition, is it true that other chazanim also didn't have to pay taxes? So look how he goes through this tshuva. The tshuva's Rivash. Rivash is one of the Rishonim. And he writes in number 11. I'm reading just the bold again. L'divrei achazan shaya tenai b'neim she'apater min amas o machishin moso. Regarding the discussion where the chazan claimed that he agreed upon being exempt from taxes, and the others argued. V'cheinim haya minag kavua ba'ir. So you have to look into whether there was an established minag she'yifru mas hachazanim imlo. Was there such a practice that a chazan is exempt from taxes? So he goes to the tshuva and says, midin ha-Torah, midaraisa, ein shliach tzibur patim min ha-masim v'arnonios. Masim v'arnonios are taxes, the Gemara refers to. Din deraisa, a shliach tzibur, a chazan, is not exempt from paying taxes. He must pay taxes. Who's patim from taxes? Who's patim from taxes? The Gemara. Rabbanan, chachamim. The Gemara Basa tells us, Kilo patu chachmeinu zal ela chachamim umare haravs. Only a tamar chacham, a rav who's giving a psakim, he's pater. What's the reason why is a tamar chacham pater from paying taxes? Anybody remember? No one remembers? So the next line says, Rabbanan lo tzriche nitirusa. What does that mean?
They don't need a
shmirah. They don't need shmirah. That's why the Gemara in Brachos also says that a Talmid Chacham doesn't need to say Kriya Shma Amita, because he's pater. He doesn't need protection from the mazikin, from the chalamos raos and stuff at nighttime. So along the same lines, the Gemara Bava Basra says a Talmid Chacham doesn't need shmirah. He's protected from the Torah that he learns. But a chazan, as wonderful as a chazan is, he's not necessarily a Talmid Chacham, he's not necessarily a Rav, in which case, midaraisa, he would have to pay taxes. So you can't look at the deraisa that's going against the deraisa. He has no basis to be potter from taxes. So then, going on to the next page, he writes, Acharei shemin hadin ha-chazan chayiv b'masim varnonios, kishar nashim. After we've established already that a chazan must pay taxes, he's not in the same category as a Talmid Chacham as a rabbi, he tried to come with another, he tried to take another approach. What was his approach? That he made a condition. Part of my contract was that I'm potter from paying taxes. This was the agreement we had with each other. He said, maybe this is the practice of the, this has been going on for years, that every chazan in this village didn't pay taxes. So Allah lari raya, he has the obligation, it's this chazan, he needs to prove that he made such a contract, he made such an agreement, or that this was such a practice. Now he writes further down, ubevadai, with certainty, imhisna kain, if they had such an agreement, the perishim abruim, harishonim, with the people who negotiated with him in the beginning, v'yesha edim bedavar, if witnesses, o'af im ein edim, even if there were no witnesses, el shem modim. So then the initial hires, the people of the board, agree that they made such an agreement with him. So then, Hare Tanaim Kaim. So that condition works. That they said in their contract, we're going to hire you as a chazan on condition that you're pater from taxes. So then they're pater, he's pater from taxes. The Afa P, if that's your point, even though Shane Kosov Zat Tanai Bishtar Schiros, even though this wasn't part of the contract, it wasn't written, Lohifsi doesn't lose out, Kevim Shame Hiftichu Kein Alpeh. They promised him verbally that they're going to exempt him from taxes. Das Kein, his Chir Atzmo. So again, he would have to prove that he, in fact, made such an agreement. If it's in the shtar, so prove the shtar. If it was verbally, bring Edim or make them admit. Now, Im Zelo, going further now. Im Zelo Yisbar Kidvarav, Ela Shisaschu Stam. If he can't bring any proof, and simply they said, we're hiring you as a chazan, so now, what's his next approach? So, let's go see what was the practice in this industry of being a chazan. The binyan is chirus, palim, when it comes to hiring workers, and a chazan is no different. Vadai holchin achar minag hamedina. You certainly go based on the industry practice. Afa pishas chirus nasa bestam. So now you have to look. Do chazanim get exempt from taxes or not? That's the next level. So again, number one, what's the din deraisa? Are chazanim pater or not? We established that they're not pater. They're not like a Talmid Chacham. Number two is, was there an agreement? We established there was no agreement. So now what's the industry practice? How do you define a minog within a certain industry? And so the Rivash writes as follows. Mikol makom nira shebekigon zeh, tzarech sheyeh minog barur, has to be a very clear-cut practice, liftor im baskamas hakal, has to be accepted upon the entire tzibor, or a long-held minog for many years in this village. Has to be a well-established minog. Aval, jumping down one line, if there is one guy once before was pater from taxes, one chazan, because one or two chazanim in history were exempt from taxes, that's not considered a minag. Ela im kein yadu, unless you know, umefursam, it's well known, beir, shemachmas minag ha'ir liftoach chazanim, the reason why their previous one or two chazanim were pater was because they had an established minag. So then, pturim, ula minag ha'makomo sheba misham ha'chazan ein la habit klau. Ah, the guy came from another place that they did have such a practice of exempting chazanim, that doesn't impact when he moves to this new location. All depends on what is a considered a minag for many years in this particular village. So now bring it back to our case. Rama writes, number 12. Number 12, he says, quotes as Rivash, V'ein kare minag eladavar hashchiach V'nase har be'pam. Has to be something very, very much practiced frequently. Aval davar she'no nase rak pam achas. O shnei pamim eino kare minog. So once or twice, that's not considered a minog. So now bringing this to our case, it's still very hard to know what's considered a practice within an industry. I'm sure every type of firm has their own unique ways of running their firm. Even though it might not be written in the contract, I heard people talking about before whether you're allowed to check personal email or not. One person was saying they're not allowed to check personal email. Others said they are allowed to check. They're encouraged to check personal email. I'm not sure what was based on that. When I worked in PricewaterhouseCoopers, they let us use, it wasn't like stated in a contract, but people were able to use personal email however they liked to. But we once had to go to a client at Citibank downtown. I think it was Water Street. Does that make sense? It's been a while. So I think down in Water Street. So we went to we had to work in Citibank for some project. We were there for 4 or 5 weeks. And we got to the computers and everything was blocked out. Other than the Citibank website, everything else was blocked out. There were no windows in this place. You almost felt like you were in jail. You couldn't use anything else. So each industry has, not industry, each firm, even within an industry, has different practices. So you can have different banks. I don't know. I'm just suggesting. Some banks can be more lenient, wanting their employees to be very happy and the wiggle room to check their personal emails. And others are a little bit more tighter of how it works. So I'm not sure if you go based on industry practice. It might be based on firm practice. I'm not sure. But it's very hard to know how to apply the halachas of minhag ha-medina. But it depends. You have to figure, whatever that answer is, that's going to dictate to you what's permitted in terms of time, in terms of usage, in terms of supplies that you're going to be using from the office. Okay. Yeah.
The minhag ha-medina is not the same thing as the baal bayis not being machpis.
Correct. Not at all.
It's not the same thing.
Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, not at all.
If the baal bayis wasn't machpis and then becomes machpis several years in, is that any issue? Do you call that a minhag or something established between the two of you, even though it wasn't explicit?
Interesting. Can he change that? That's an interesting question. I don't know if he could change that.
Or the minhag ha-medina change.
Right, that also, how do you, right. I find it more likely that the baal bayis will change as opposed to minhag. It probably takes a few years for things to take on. But either way, can that change or does it depend on when his initial contract was in, what was established then? I imagine there's some level of grandfathering in, but I'm not sure. I don't know for sure.
Employees can be fired and rehired.
That's true. that's true also.
Firing you on the old terms,
right.
And
rehiring you. Yeah. I hear. Off. Things with days off change over time.
Uh-huh.
Like vacation.
But that's holiday. In contracts, though. That's written in contracts. That's not an understood minhag ha-medina. That's written in a contract. So once that's in the contract, there's no negotiating with that point, I think.
But most people don't have contracts.
Really?
Most, yeah.
Interesting.
But most companies, which are the larger ones, have very well written, established policies.
Policies.
Governing
right.
All these things. And
they
Policies.
Most employees are employees at will. They can be terminated anytime.
Uh-huh. So, which allows them, I guess, to change things in terms all the time, since they could just... Okay. There's an interesting tshuva in the Pishchei Tshuva, number 13, which talks about a certain shivcha, a worker, a housekeeper, who was fired, or kind of left from her employee for... She was claiming she was overworking her. She was overworking her, the lady, and she was locking up the cabinet so she couldn't take any food out. And then the employer said, well, the shifcha, she broke my kalim. So there's a whole fight. It doesn't seem any different than we have nowadays.
Lawrence?
Exactly. So let's go through this tshuva and the Pishchei tshuva and the Chavos Yair, number 13.
We can go to the videotape.
Yeah. So the Chavos Yair writes, Shekase bedavar berichas hashivcha, the shifcha runs away, betainas hachbadas ol. The employer was working her way too hard. Vadai, the talai b'minag, it all depends on what is considered the industry practice. Im minag b'ne'a'ir b'shivchoseyem lahatil ol hahu. If she was giving work that similar friends would be doing to their shivchos, that would be permitted. Im k'sasam matilin kazeh u'k'sasam lo. If some would have heavy labor and others would not. Im yadua eich yinhagu harov niza basayu. If you could somehow ascertain what the majority holds, so then that would based on the majority. If she was doing it within reason of the majority of that, they make their clean lady schlepping all the, I don't know, the packages from the car, so that's considered normal. If most people don't do that, so this would be considered outside of normalcy and would be grounds for leaving.
Is that in general? Minog is rov?
Minog is rov, yes.
Minog
is rov, yeah. Now, v'im ef shar levar, if you cannot clarify this point, So lo matzi ba bais lahatil ol sheino nog bebir. You can't clarify it, then the employer has no right to enforce this type of labor. V'chein meskiras dalse teva, closing up the cabinets, the pantries, shebo halechem, locking up the food. So she's working 12 hours a day, no food for her to eat. Now, by the way, she can't bring in non-kosher food either. So now, no treif, and you can't eat my food either, so she's fasting every day for 12 hours while working really hard. So now, what's the halacha? Is that also grounds for, can the shifcha claim some payment for that? She was holding back something that she really should have given me. So im mifur semes ha'isha b'ilas ha'bayis b'zeh. Everybody knows this lady. This lady back in back Lawrence, let's say. V'amishartat says b'nos ha'ir, and this lady, the shifcha, lived in that city. Everyone knows a well-known lady. She's a hard worker in the back. She was, and the shifcha lived in that community. So she knew who this lady was, this very powerful, rich lady in the back. She knew about this. So then, it's understood, a savra of a kabbalah. The fact that she was willing to be hired by this tough lady, she knew the circumstances, and she was willing to go into such a situation, so then the shifcha has no taina. Vim lav, if the employer wasn't known to be very strong, or the shifcha did not live in this neighborhood, she didn't know about this, so then, az linan basar minag nashim sheim barach. You have to go based on what the practice is, or what most women do. Do they lock up their pantries, or do they not? Vimhu nege ha minag. If locking up the pantries goes against what the practice in the community was, lo tuchal asuhu, she's not allowed to. The employer cannot lock up the pantries. Afa pisha tasa kein lebaneh. Even though she doesn't let her own sons go to the pantry, but she has to let the shivcha go to the pantries. Ubeinyan peidas haisha. So this is also interesting. Now the employer said, well, wait a second, she broke one of my nice china pieces. I'm going to take some of the money off of what I owe her. Vadai, that claim, that the employer is able to, I'm taking away $50 from your weekly payment this week because you broke my china.
That's against law.
Is it? Yeah, why? But what if someone damaged? You could claim it from them.
You can sue them for it.
Okay. Okay, I guess the halachic law says differently. Fine. Ki hashivcha, why is it, what's the basis? Kishomer sachar. She's a shomer sachar. She's being hired worker to watch over the house and clean the house at the shomer sachar. And a shomer sachar is chai b'gneva and vaveda v'shviras kli ayde takala. She made a mistake. So she's a shomer sachar and she's responsible to pay for that damage.
Over here she's masking that she broke.
Yeah, it seems like there was no, right, I guess she wanted the money, you can't hold back my payment, I agree I broke it, but okay, I was doing the work. Things break when you're doing a job, I don't have to pay for that. But the Chavos Yar, she has to pay, and in fact you could deduct it from her salary. Im lo shenishbar machlas melacha, o shenei dami mibnei abeso shevrava ki agavna. But if that says she broke it while doing work, machlas melachto, told not the sugim b'metzia. Or it was known that she didn't break it, somebody else broke it, and then you have no claim, of course. So now, if generally women don't care if they broke a piece of china, other women in the community don't really care, so maybe this employer shouldn't have a taina. Either way, there's an interesting discussion about another application of an employee versus employer depends on, again, the agreements that they had, and also depending on what the general minag hamadina was. Now let's bring this back full circle to our case. Our case we start off with is a person allowed to use office supplies for their own personal use? So we spoke about minag medina. We spoke about the agreement that they had between each other. So the very last daf now, on the Maseches Bava Kama, it's a hard daf because we don't understand a lot of the metzias here, those who remember learning the end of Bava Kama, but talks about a slightly different situation. And the situation here is, let's say you have you're a tailor, and the client brings in a suit to be tailored, and you cut off, there's a long hem, so you cut off the bottom of it. So now, can you keep that cloth for yourself, or do you need to return it? And the Gemara Bava Kama talks about different scenarios. You're a carpenter, and you have all the sawdust, or some extra piece of wood. Now, can you keep that, or do you have to return it now to the person who brought you the wood? That's with the Shiloh. And the Gemara speaks about different things, of if it's two strings versus three strings, or four strings, how much it is. So without going through all those details, we're just going to pull out the principles from this Gemara.
Let me
there must be a comment whether it's diamond dust or sawdust.
So let's look at the, what are the principles? Look what the Gemara says, right? No, you're right. Depending on the quality, it's a huge difference, for sure. So what the Gemara says, what are the principles we have to look at? Number 14. So we're reading just the bold here. Makom shenago, shenago lios shelo. First criteria is, what's the minhag makom? If we're dealing with gold dust, so I'm sure the minhag is never to let the other person keep it. Whoever the owner is should keep any of the gold. But all dependent on makom shenago. But then if you look further down the daf here, it says, Bizman shebal habayis makpid alem, then hare elu shel bal habayis. Ein bal habayis makpid alem, hare elu shelo. It doesn't depend on minhag medina, according to this line. It's not the industry, the practice within the industry. Rather, it's the personal employer. Each firm will have their own sets of rules. So is it hakpadas habal, or is it the makom minhag makom? So now we'll have Paskin. So if you look now, go to the last page here, number 15. The Rambam Paskin is very important for the Sfardim. The Rambam Paskin is number 15, Hilchos Geneva Perek Vav Halachaches, reading just the last line here, Holchin Behen Acher Minag HaMedina. You look at the overall industry practice. Even though your particular employer might be very makbid, we don't care. If you're in the real estate practice industry, if you're in the medical industry, what's the overall industry? That's the Shita of the Rambam. And the Magen Mishnah addresses the question, but doesn't the Gemara say, Takpadas Habal? How do you deal with that stira? So the Magen Mishnah says, it's Takpadas Habal dictates what a Minhag Medina is. How do you define what a Minhag Medina is? Well, what are most people, rova employers, are they Makbid or are they not Makbid? That's going to dictate the Minhag Medina. But it doesn't depend on subjectively each baal. It's the general population of employers. What's the akpada will define what the minhag medina is.
This is when you don't have a contract.
Exactly. When there's no contract. Exactly. There is no contract. If you give in something to the tailor, you say, listen, I want the rest of the cloth back, he has to give it back to you. But if it's given stam, so then you go based on the minhag hamedina. So, yes.
The Magen Mishnah is a little hard to understand.
Why?
Because according to what the Rav just said, that what so we're working it backwards. We're gonna go into the hakpada of the balabatim, and then we're gonna have the minhag makom.
Yeah, the minhag makom is defined by you take a census, you take 100 employers in that industry, and you figure out what's the rov of are they makbid, are they not makbid. But don't say, well, my particular employer is very makbid. I don't care. If the minhag medina of most employers are not makbid, we go based on the minhag hamakom.
What is Allah's method?
So we mentioned that before, but just to say, Rove. Rove is based on this Magen Mishnah. Rove is
three people. There's a certain, you know, basis that creates a realistic reflection of what really the larger thing is. So when they take polls, they don't poll five people, they poll thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And there are many things that, if you ask me, if you ask someone else in the industry, they're going to say, oh, I think it's like this, I think it's like that.
Right.
Is there a halachic?
That much I didn't see. I my guess would be if you have can't obviously take a census from every single person in the world, but I don't know what the number would be. I would imagine 100. Yeah, it's a good question. Halamaisa, how you actually take such a census, I'm not sure. I would guess 100 would be really enough, but again, if it's a huge industry, 100, it depends how large the industry is. No, it could be you need 1,000 people. That's a good question. I don't know. Halamaisa had to figure that out.
It might say Google it.
I'm not sure that works either, but. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskins for the Svardim, this is very important, number 17 for the Svardim. Shulchan Aruch Choshe Mishpat Hilchot Geneva Simen Shin Nun Ches B'chol Advarm Kayot Behem. All those halachas Holchin Achar Minag HaMedina. It goes based on the Minag HaMedina. But the Ramah argues and says, number 18, V'chein B'shar Malachos Kol Shebal HaBayis Makbir Alav. It goes based on the Hakpada of the owner. So the Shulchan Aruch says it's the Minhag Medina, it's objective to that industry, and the Ramah says depends on your particular employer, what his hakpados are. So it says the Shevet Levi, now going back full circle, now we can understand what he meant. Le'inyan lakachas mibeis charoshes she'ovid sham ko minei kelim hatrichim b'shas avoda. The guy wants to take some of the office supplies that he's using in the factory. Even though each day they bring out new utensils, new supplies to work, it's pashit that it all depends on whether or not your employer cares or he doesn't care. He's paskin for the Ashkenazim. But for the Sfaradim, we would say it doesn't depend on your particular Baal Habayis, it depends on the general Minhag HaMedina. I think really the right answer should be, not arguing with Vosner, but really what should be done is, since it really does depend on Hakpadas HaBaal, the employee should really ask the employer and just be very direct. You can imagine the type of Kiddush Hashem it can make. That when I was in DRS, so I was able to use a copy machine however I want for DRS shiurim. I was once giving a shiur somewhere else. I did ask, can I use this copy machine for a shiur given outside of the yeshiva? And they permitted me to. So that's no Kiddush Hashem working within a yeshiva. They would understand that's an important question to ask. But you can imagine going to a non-Jewish employer and asking that type of question. They'd be, I think, tremendously impressed with such a question and could really provide a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. So although al pi halacha, it seemed that you wouldn't be allowed to use it if you know the Baal Bayis won't be makbid, to be very direct and ask, I think, would really create and generate a tremendous Kiddush Hashem.